this evening, if you open in your Bibles, we're going to prepare for communion in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And as we're reading these verses, I want you to also slowly look around for a group of, at the most, six or seven that you are going to turn to and read scripture with before communion. We're not going to do that yet, but I want you to start slowly looking who's sitting around you, as I say every time, to see who you would like to share this most special celebration of communion, our highest form of worship with. So in chapter 10, what we're looking at in Hebrews is stirring each other up. That's every time we gather as a church, this is what our mandate is, starting in verse 24. And let us consider one another. It's a Greek word, kata noeo. Kata means upon, and noeo is to think. So it's on our mind, we're thinking about this, we're noticing, as some versions translate that, one another. And here's the purpose. We don't notice one another, see who's bought new clothes or what they're wearing, you know, what their hair looks like. We're noticing how to stir up love and good works. So, in each of the communion services that are in the evening service, we're devoting this portion of them to practicing that. And specifically, to wear the truths of salvation as our helmet. Now, what we've done in the last sessions, we first, at communion, looked at justification. You know the definition, from being accused and guilty to being righteous and with no record of our wrongs. That's the theological form. Then we looked at the verses. Now, there are many, but we looked at Romans 8, I am free forever from condemnation. And we said that out loud. Let's see if you can practice. Let's say it together. I am free forever from condemnation. Now, we can easily say that, but Satan's most persistent attack is to condemn us. Because we are so painfully aware of our sin, and when he points it out, we feel condemned. But I am free forever from condemnation because God has already accused Christ for my sins. And we don't want to double pay. You know, we can't pay at all. Jesus paid it all. So when Satan tempts us to feel condemned, we remember our justification. Then I can always approach God with confidence. Here in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, I always, remember it says we can boldly come, always have his grace and his strength. Then we looked at regeneration. If you remember, in fact, I think I put too much stuff on my slides. We talked about going from dead and decaying to alive and overflowing. Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is something that we repeated around in our little groups. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. And then 1 John, I am born of God and the evil one can't touch me. But tonight, in reconciliation, what we're going to do is, and now this is where you have to look around, and we have 10 minutes to do this. So I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, and then you move around to wherever you want to do it with a group of people. You have to be in a small enough group that everybody can hear. One person is going to read Ephesians 1:6, and the whole group's going to lean forward and listen and follow along in your Bible. And then whoever reads it is going to look up here and say, because Jesus reconciled me, I am accepted in Christ Jesus. And then they're going to look at the group and say, let's all say that. And so everyone says aloud, I am accepted in Christ Jesus. Why is that so important to repeat? Because you heard tonight in the report that when the kids can't go and be accepted in the school and pass the test, there is so much suicide. It's the same thing that goes on in the Orient. The being accepted is life or death. Here in America, it's not quite as much. It's all about being accepted by our clothes and by our cars and by our electronics and by our, you know, expensive shoes. But it's this idea, people long to be accepted. Because I'm reconciled with God, I'm not his enemy. I am accepted in Christ Jesus, and that really is all I need. All the other groups are downhill from that, and this is most important. Then the second thing, after that is done in the group, another person will read John 15:15 aloud to the group, and then they will say, they'll look back up here, And you should be able to see that one at least. Because Jesus reconciled me, and you look confidently at your group of four, five, six, or seven, and say, I am Christ's friend. I mean, that's a major statement. And then say, okay, group, let's all say it together. And so everyone looks up there and they say, I am Christ's friend. Then the last one, same thing. Only whoever gets this has a lot of verses. And I am Christ's ambassador of reconciliation. I can go out and tell people you can be reconciled to God. I'm an ambassador. I can actually lead you to reconciliation with God. Are you interested? Paul said we're supposed to go out and persuade people to be reconciled to God as God's ambassador. Okay, so let's all do this. Everybody stand up. Look around. Find five or six other safe people. Move toward them. Make a little group. Do this. I'm going to come up at 2 minutes after seven. Dear Father, just over the hum of all these voices, of all these believers that are stirring one another up, I pray that you would cement into our hearts that this is what we're to do with one another. We're supposed to remind each other of our great salvation because we have experienced justification, regeneration, and tonight, reconciliation. There is no sin for a born-again believer that is unforgivable. We never have to fear that what we do makes you stop loving us because we're friends forever through your Son, reconciled forever. I pray that we would more and more understand that and more do what we just read in 2 Corinthians, that because we're new creations in Christ Jesus, we would go as your ambassadors and ask you to open opportunities for us to encourage people to be reconciled to God because we are and because we know the joy and the security and the peace. As we sit before you tonight, we want to prepare our hearts for communion. And Father, I pray as elders and deacons who serve us, prepare to serve us tonight, that we would get ready for that meal by washing our hands. Not literally, but confessing and forsaking any known sin spiritually. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, dear Father, cleanses us from all sin. Though once and for all he died on the cross, we have to agree with you that we've sinned, that we have allowed our hearts to get cold, that we have drifted away from you, that we have sinned willfully. And Lord, you are faithful and just to already, once and for all, have forgiven us. But in that moment that we confess, you cleanse us. You cleanse us so we can feel close again. You cleanse us so we can come boldly. You cleanse us so we can experience the unhindered power of your Spirit. So cleanse us now, so that as we hold these elements, we can hold them with clean hands. And as we sing our worshipful offerings to you, we can sing from pure hearts. So thank you for the bread. Thank you for the privilege that we as brothers and sisters tonight, we who have read the Bible to each other and declared the doctrinal truths to each other, can also celebrate communion together. Bless our celebration tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.